Well, we thank the Lord today for salvation and His wonderful love and grace to each one of us. We've all been recipients of many good things, and the Bible teaches us all good things come from God. So thank the Lord this morning that He has nothing but good in mind for every one of us. This morning I would like to think about a very small word, and it's probably, along with a few others, one of the most powerful words that we could ever have access to and utilize in good ways, and it can be used in bad ways. I've been thinking about this off and on for years, and how we sometimes underestimate the power of the word no, and the authority that comes from when we say no. Think about it a little bit. When we say no to something, we are denying the use of something, good or bad. We are denying the access of something into our circle, be it good or be it bad. The word no is an authority that you and me can use. We can use it righteously, and we can use it very unrighteously. Sometimes we, as people, we have misconceptions about choices we make. I have found in life, really and truly for me, it's much easier to say yes. It's easier to say yes to something that maybe I don't even agree with, because of peer pressure, because of wanting to please someone, because of not wanting to have to go into a discourse of why I said no. But we need to realize that yes is not always the answer. And sometimes no is the answer. We have sometimes a stress on us. Someone says, will you do so-and-so? And for various reasons, we can't or we don't care to do it. Many times when we say no, we feel a pressure to qualify that and express and explain that. And sometimes we can feel a little sheepish when we say no, like I'm not doing my part, or I have caused someone to have more put on them. I want you to think a little bit with us today about the power of that's in the word no, and how God wants us to know how to use that word. He wants us to use it against the devil. He wants us to give it and use it against society that would infringe itself upon you and me, upon our families, upon right, upon the choices we make. The Bible and God want you and me to use that word effectively on ourselves, because sometimes and many times that is the most effective place that we can use it, is to say no to one's own passions, one's own emotions, and one's own feelings. I have said this and found it to be so. No is a legitimate answer to any yes or no question. Have you ever thought about it? We feel sometimes like we're making a mistake if we say no to a request or something. So listen to the scriptures this morning, and we'll look into the Word of God, because given to you and to me through the right of choice is also the power from God, and that's what we're going to talk about, the power of God to say no. And it's a word that we need to understand the authority and the power and the strength of. How it has the power to cut off. It has the power to exclude both good and evil. I want us to start this morning in the 8th chapter of Romans and the 3rd verse and the 4th verse. God is interested in mine and your welfare. And he knows that you and me are going to be accosted by various ideas, philosophies, and temptations. He knows that everything presented to us are not going to come from good intentions of spirits and of mankind. He knows the things that you and me are going to be subject to as humans, the folly of the flesh, the passions of life, the appetites that we're all beset with, are not always going to be in our best interest. And God wants you and me to know how to resist those influences that would devour us, that would harm us, that would depreciate us, that would cause you and me to be less than what we want to be, certainly what God wants us to be, that would cause us to be less in our effectiveness for the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God, for the lost souls, that would cause us not to contribute our portion of the burden for the work of God across the world and in our community. The Lord knows there's influences all around us. He gave us the law many thousand years ago. He gave us His will concerning His character and how we ought to live and how we ought to put Him first and how we ought to love Him above all others. And there should never be in any form a God before Him, an idea greater than His, a purpose greater than His. But He also knew that there was always going to be, through the instruments of humanity, those influences that would try to influence us. So God has told us very directly His will concerning our life. How to live, how not to live. Those things that are appreciated by Him and those things that are an abomination to Him. God wants us to know the difference. So He gave us the law. And the law was good. But the law was not the end of the matter. And we're going to look this morning at some of the things the Lord has provided for us today that you and me might fulfill the purpose and the will of God. And part of that is to be able to deny ungodliness. Say no to the influences that would distract us and pull us away. The cares of life, the lust of the flesh, the temptations from the devil himself. Those things that would cause you and me to have blocks put in our way as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, a father, as part of a congregation, as a disciple of Christ, as an ambassador for Jesus. God wants us to be able to resist those things and have an emphatic no to the influences that come against us. He said in the second verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." This is in no way saying the law was sinful, the law was wrong, or the law was inaccurate. Not saying that in the least. But the instrumentality and the power of the law came from man's observance of the law. Not through a spiritual change, or not through a new birth, but the adherence to a set of rules, if you will, to put it simply. An adherence to, thus saith the Word of God. And Paul is reminding us that that in itself was good, the law, but it fell short because the power to obey, the power to say no to wrong, rested on the choice of human instrumentality without the influence of the divine fully permeating and occupying that seat of affection, that place of authority that God ultimately brought in when He brought in the gospel and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He said, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin," or for the penalty of sin, "condemned sin in the flesh," or put a judgment on it, caused it to appear what it was, and brought it under subjection, that the righteousness of the law, that good points of God's law, which it all is good, that the very fundamental principles of God Himself might be fulfilled in us, in mankind, in the new creature, in the new birth person, in the man and the woman who now have found that we no longer have to walk after the flesh, but now we can walk in and of and by and after the Spirit of God. We can follow something that has not only the authority of right and wrong, what pleases God, what displeases God, but also the authority to say no emphatically and resist evil, turn away from it, and not fall prey to those things that separate us from God, those things that will separate us from the blessings of the Lord, those things that separate us from the fullness of joy, those things that we allow through the flesh to come in that separates us from the fellowship of the saints. And it's not always sin. It could be attitudes. It could be mindsets. It can be dispositions. It can be hurts. It can be whatever. It could be our jobs. It could be our time. It could be how we, our perspectives on looking at things. God wants us to be able to deny those things that don't contribute to our well-being in Zion and for the well-being of Zion. So now we have something greater than the law in that we can now walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Over in Titus, I'd like to read there, Titus 2. And 11. For the grace of God, thank God this morning for the grace of God. That is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. And here's the good news to every one of us. God wants to favor us. God wants to bless us. Whomever we are and wherever we may be in life, God's intentions is if we will allow Him, He will bless us. And he said, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And he came with a message. He came with something to say. He came with the message of salvation and deliverance from sin. But he came teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. One of the greatest and hardest persons there is to say no to is ourself, our appetites, our affections, our feelings. But God has brought unto you and me the authority of His Spirit, the authority of His perfect love, that we might with conviction use this most powerful word against the enemy of our soul and against ourselves. And he said to this, the grace of God teaches us how and teaches us to deny everything that we cannot attribute to God. Everything that is unlike Him. Selfishness and envy, the love of the flesh, the love of this world, and the pride of life. To be able to put those things where they belong in the category of, I'm denying that. I'm not going to succumb to it. I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to give my consent to it. Though it be a cross, and though it be a somewhere that I've got to crucify myself to. But I find that in so doing, then I have the blessings and the peace of God. God wants us to be able. And he said, I want to teach you through the Holy Ghost and the Word that one of the greatest things we'll learn is deny ungodliness, to say no to it. Not a no but, or not offering an excuse for it, or not offering it up as, well, I would like to, but I can't because the Bible teaches against it, or something like that. But unequivocally say, that is unlike my Lord. That is unlike the one that I desire more than anything to please. That is unlike that one who has called me out of sin and given me a new life, who has given me peace with Him. I would want nothing to do with anything that would abridge that, that would hinder that, that would cause me to forfeit even the smallest of the blessings that come from being a child of God. I tell you, Satan, I tell you, self, I tell you, all forces, all the things that would come, no, in the name of the Lord, I don't want anything to come between me and the Lord. May God help us today. So God teaches us how we deny. We deny self. We deny temptation. We deny the pressures of living, and we bring our body, Paul said, under subjection. May the Lord help us to realize this morning that we have favor from God. He wants to favor us in that we can resist the devil, that we can say no to those things that historically have caused us to be less than I or you wanted to be. Every one of us fight the battle. Well, I think every one of us fight the battle of saying no to the flesh. No to what I think. No to what I want. Discipline, temperance, comes from God. It's a teaching of the Bible. But it also is brought into its fullness and into its authority, temperance is, by being able to say no. By being able to resist that would contend against your principles, against your knowledge of God, that would contend against what God has spoken to you, what the Word of God reveals to us. And instead of saying no to the counsel of the Almighty, now through the Spirit and the new birth, we say yes to the counsel of the Almighty and no to that one that would draw us contrary, meaning even our own self. This morning, God has granted us the power to deny sin, deny doing wrong. Over in 1 Peter and the 5th chapter, He gives us some instructions about our walk, about our alertness, and about how you and me have an adversary. And Peter writes this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Today's society has really hindered our soberness. There was a time, and there is in places, when sobriety of mind and a sound mind was right up there next to survival. Because if you didn't have a sound mind in making good judgments, if you were not sober about existence, you died. Today we live in a society here that causes you and me to have a lot more time that we can devote to being inebriated with the cares of life, the luxuries of living. So much to distract us. And the need to be sober-minded about much more of life doesn't exist like it once did, if you think about it. We're pretty well-fed. All of us have decent homes, houses to live in, an automobile to drive, clothes, friends. And we don't have that great pressing need of just surviving on any point of our life. Today, what we face in America can come against the admonition of being sober-minded. We live in a society where government is expected to take care of its people beyond what the framers of the Constitution designed. We have the right to the pursuit of happiness and liberty. The new dispensation of leadership says that you deserve it. You must have it. But we have the right to pursue it. America and the world and the Western world is not near as sober-minded because of the circumstances that surround us that gives us much more liberty and freedoms and the ease of living. But the Bible said, have a good sound mind. Think seriously about life. Consider your choices. Weigh them heavily. The consequences of what I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, where you're about to go, what you're about to allow your affections and your time to go out to. Be very careful that it has a greater weight than you may see. Why? Because we have an adversary. He speaks here of a roaring lion, like a roaring lion, wanting to interject His answers and His thinking into everything that goes and concerns us. He said, be sober and vigilant, on guard, aware that my answers and my attitudes have a great consequence and are going to affect not only me, but the people who depend on you or me. Because your adversary, the devil, the Satan, the evil one, the very embodiment of wrong, the exact contrast to all that God is, he's our adversary. He cannot do good. He wants to lie. He does lie. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to rob from you. He wants to rob from me. He wants to rob from the valuables that God has entrusted us with. So Peter says, be very sober, be very careful. Because we have an adversary as a roaring lion, and he goes about seeking whom he may devour, trying to find and lurking in dark places and trying to find places to hide, and he's searching and he's hunting and he's looking for places and looking for you and me to have an unguarded moment, you and me to be asleep, you and me to be at ease and not considering soberly the consequences of this life and how whatever happens here in this life is going to affect where we spend eternity. It's going to have, as you're a parent today, it's going to have a big effect on the choices your children make, which will consequently have a consequence on where they spend eternity. God, of Satan, is going about trying to get you and me to let those guards down. Trying to get you and me to say, yes, or, well, maybe it's okay, or maybe it's not so bad after all, or everyone else is doing it, or I just feel so bad, or I just can't, and get us to some way acquiesce to a little suggestion. But the Bible said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. May the Lord help us today to recognize that this real enemy is out there trying to interject himself in some way into our life. Peter's advice was whom resist steadfast in the faith. God has given us some tools and he wants us to know how to use them. God has given us some instruments of our warfare and God says use them. The shield of faith, the Word of God. It's a sword. It's a mighty weapon. It's sharp and it divides asunder. And it goes down to the truth or the error of a matter. In your choices in life, as you want to know whether to say yes or no, consult God's Word. Make it an integral part of your daily life. Refer to it. Tell your children about it. Read it to one another. Quote it to one another. Take time to rest in the day and study what the Word of God says. Don't just take it at face value, but go into the depths of what God is saying. See the context that it's written in. Make yourselves, discipline yourselves. Say no to, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, it's time to take on the weapons of my warfare. The enemy is real. Say no to that one that would rob you from your time spent with the Lord. Be well acquainted with your secret closet. Know it well. Know its location. Know the value of it and the power of it. Satan is trying to steal you from your secret closet. Learn to say, no, I am going to pray and worship my God in prayer. I'm going to spend time with him. No, I am going to cast on him all my cares. I am going to take this opportunity. This thing that comes along, it wants to rob and steal and to kill and have me to pull away from my prayer closet. No, I am going to my prayer closet. The weapons of our warfare, saints, are mighty. But how are they mighty? Through God. They're not mighty in the flesh. They're not mighty in my intellect or yours. They're not mighty in my ability to go into a carnal warfare with wrong and evil and the devil, but they're mighty through the provisions of our Father. They're mighty through God, whom resist steadfast, not in a faith in the sense of I believe, that's only part of it, but in the actual truth and the embodiment of God. Resist the devil. May the Lord help us to know how and the value of that. Whom resist in the Spirit of God? Said the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against those things that would oppose righteousness. And you and me need to know how to say no, devil, no self, no to the influences of this world. You know, some of us are kind of past the peer pressure of styles to some degree. We're all subject because that's sometimes all you can get. But no to the styles of society. No to the little childish excuse, but everybody's doing it. No to those things that would cause me and God and that a gap to begin to form and only grow greater. May the Lord help us to know how to say no. You know, the Word of God is sharper, as I said, than a two-edged sword. It's sharper than the lies of the devil. You ever been around someone, they listen very intently to everything you say, and they're able to catch errors or inconsistencies in what you're saying? God's Word is sharper than that. May we have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that we may catch the inconsistencies of the argument that the devil makes, the inconsistencies that the world, of the argument the world makes, the inconsistency of the argument the flesh makes, that we might be sharp in the Lord, strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. And then he went on, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And then he said, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Think a minute of what your purpose is. Fear God and keep his commandments. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Think about our purpose. For herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. May we understand this morning that our life is to be to the glory of God, to the praise of God, and to bear fruit for God. And in so doing, we are honored of God, and we can honor Him. In so doing, the works of the kingdom are greater. The effects of my life and your life in a positive way. We become better at what we're called to do. But we have to learn to resist the devil. We have to learn to say no to the flesh. We have to be like Paul when he wrote in 5 and 24 of Galatians, and they that are Christ, those that have been born again, those that Christ claims have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The Lord expects you and me to effectively say no to the lust of the flesh, to say it from our heart, to say it from our conscience, to say it from spiritual integrity, to be able to resist those changes that Satan would like to start working in you that would ultimately separate us from the grace of God. May God help us this morning. Paul said, and don't forget that, our purpose in life. Today we are affected by various purposes that are trying to be placed on us, of having more of this world's goods, of occupying the flesh and serving the flesh, feeding the flesh. pampering the flesh, not willing and not wanting to suffer for righteousness' sake. That's outdated. That's for a time past, the world would want to teach us. Not being able and not wanting or having to bear the cross. But God, help us to recognize our purpose. We're called to be the children of God. We're called to glorify His name. We're called to suffer for the gospel's sake. We're called to suffer with Him that we might also reign with Him. This is a message that goes contrary to the flesh. This part of the gospel that says if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Most gladly, therefore, will I endure, will I suffer these things, that the power of Christ may rest on me. May the Lord help us this morning to recognize that to be able to walk as Paul walked, to be able to live as Christ lived, we've got to effectively say no. We've got to effectively resist. We've got to have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We've got to have the Spirit of God. We've got to have the love of God. And it must supersede everything and all things that presents contrary views to us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything we have. Love God. Love God. You can't love Him enough. You can love Him in part. You can love Him in a word. You can love Him in certain aspects. But no, we're to love God with everything we have. Put Him first in all things. Then when those things that come up against us are contrary to God, I believe it's going to be a lot easier then to say, no, I can't, I won't, I will not, by the grace of God. Satan comes along and says, you got a right to be angry. No, I don't either. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgave me. If anybody's got a right, He's got a right. And He forgave me. I relinquished and forfeited my rights. I don't want my right to be angry. I don't enjoy anger. Never did enjoy it when I was angry. Never worked any good. Never accomplished anything for right. Why would I want to go back to the weak and the beggarly things? No, I've learned a greater way. Get away from me. Flee from me, you host of demons. I want to serve God. I don't want envy and strife and jealousy and laziness. No, I've learned something greater. And I don't want anything to take away from that that God has given me and shown me and offered to me. Over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th verse. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. May the Lord help us today that you and me go forth in God's power. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Word of God. Succumb to it. Love it. Cherish it. Make it a vital part of your existence. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, watch you. Stand fast in the faith, in the truth, in the rightness of God. Stand fast in the faith and quit, ye like men, be strong. A man that is sober, a woman that is sober-minded. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God wants us to be able to say no to fear. God wants us to be able to resist those impulses that rise up and say, what if, what if? No, I believe God. Well, what if the ship does sink? Sirs, I believe God. It's going to be just the way He said it. Stay with the ship. Don't go away. No harm's going to come, He told them. They stayed with the ship. It was just like God had promised. Stand fast in the Lord and conduct ourselves. Quit ye. Become men. Act like a man. A spiritual man. A strong person. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to us again. And the 2nd chapter of 1 Corinthians. Think about all the different things that are said today. Code of conducts and how to live. And what's right and what's wrong. And some would even say nothing's wrong. And everything's right. And not anything new really under the sun in that sense. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." A lot of philosophies, a lot of directions, and the information's out there. All kind of wisdom, so-called. But Paul said, "I didn't come to you expressing my wisdom. In fact, I came to you in a very weak condition." I believe Paul said of himself that some said his speech was contemptible. He didn't come with a eloquency maybe that others would expect it, but he came with authority. He came in the power and the authority of God. That's the basis for you and me to say no. That's the basis for you and me to resist the devil. Let God's standard be your standard. Let God's criteria be your criteria. Let God's objectives and goals be your objectives and your goals. Put God's cause right there as your cause. Love God and serve God. And let the power of God work in each one of us. So when the very thing that we believe in, the very thing that we hope in, the very thing that we trust in to see us safely to the other side, that gives us victories and joys and peace, when those things are attacked and challenged, that we'll be able to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That we will be able to resist steadfast in the faith, in the truth of God. That you and me will not wait till we get to the battle, but today we'll put on the whole armor of God. That we'll prepare for an onslaught of all kind of so-called wisdom and all kind of teachings and all kind of understandings. Eloquence of men, the charisma of men. Oh, we have to resist all of those things when they go contrary to the Word of God. Stand fast in Christ, in God. Put on the whole armor. Don't wait till you think, "Well, I'm old enough now to start meeting some trials." You're going to meet trials as soon as you're able to understand and comprehend, little ones and old ones alike. We're going to have to be willing to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against what? The trickery, the wiles of the devil himself. So Paul said he didn't want for a minute those people's faith to stand in him. God forbid. There was one time, I believe, some fellows there in Acts were going to worship Paul. Thought they were angels, and they rent the clothes and said, "No, don't do this." Paul knew he had no grace to give. Peter and all the others, they had nothing they could give. What power they had, what authority they had, came from God Almighty. And it's the same with us. That we learn to say no because there's a power in us that works within us to deny ungodliness. A knowledge of the law is wonderful. We should be students of the Old Testament. They are teaching us of Jesus Christ. Then I would never say don't know and learn and study the Old Testament. On the contrary, learn that, study that, read that. But recognize the power to say no does not rest in me not doing this, not doing that, and not doing something else. It rests in the grace of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the love of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, resting in my bosom as to be in the light of my life, to be in the focus of my life, the purpose of my life, pleasing God to be above all other pleasures that I might would or like to enjoy or do enjoy. If there's ever a choice, God's way is best. I will not murmur. Put that as the, you know, they had in under the Old Testament, they, and under the law, the scriptures were evident. The law of Moses, I almost could say, was everywhere. It was in the house, on the walls, they were on their clothing. God constantly wanted the people reminded. He wanted little stones erected here and stones erected there. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. God constantly wanted people to have Him in the forefront of their life. It's not changed. God wants us to put Him in the forefront of our life and to bring Him into the seat of our affections that we call the heart. God wants to live in us. Yea, God wants to reign in us. God wants to be the authority in us. God wants to be the power working in us. God wants to be the life that we now live. He wants that old life crucified with Christ. And He wants that new life to be the very life of His Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I do always those things that please my Father. God wants you and me to be able to say that. But we've got to learn to say no. No to the devil and no to the flesh. Did you know the Bible teaches us that some of our enemies will be those of our own household? Have you ever tried to say no to someone in your own household? I don't know about you, but I never really got a thrill out of saying no to my children. Now, they'll tell you right quick, I said it all the time. Well, I know better, I didn't say it all the time. But the point is, it's not easy to come against people that you're intimate with, people that you personally love and respect and want to serve and want to have their favor. And the Lord said, we've got to learn to say no to our own family. Maybe it's no maliciousness on their part per se, but our families, unsaved family members, the whims and the attitudes of families can become a hindrance to you and me pleasing God. It comes real close, does it not? And it's not easy. Little girl comes up and says, Daddy, I want, Daddy, can I have? Maybe you could say it easier than me. But I just didn't offhand say, no, you can't have it. I always felt like, oh, she's so cute. Well, in that case, he's so cute. Whatever. But you have to learn to say no to those things. Discipline. Sobriety of life. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. May the Lord help us today. I believe we live in a time, I don't know about time, it's always been bad. People are not saying no enough to the devil. They're not saying no enough to the flesh. They're not saying no enough to the leisures and the prosperity of this life. They're not learning from an early age how to sacrifice and give and say no to the flesh and yes to God. Teach your children well. Teach them how that peer pressure will come. It's there. It's real. And say no to it because of a higher purpose and a higher desire. And I have found the pearl of great price, the man said, and he went and sold everything he had that he might win and have and purchase that one field above all others. When we think about not standing in the wisdom of men, stand in the wisdom of God. And the Word of God, he said, abideth forever. It'll always be true wherever you go. Whatever you encounter, you can rely. Base your answer on the Word of God. It's forever settled. Have you ever seen in courts of law, out here in California just recently, the people voted, and then the court said that's unconstitutional. Well, now they can go. It's still an unsettled question because now they can have another referendum and constitutional amendment. We live in a society of unsettledness. People, exceptions to everything. And if this court doesn't allow it, well, we'll go to another court. And we'll argue it another way. We'll change our tactics. Kind of a hard life sometimes that way. But he said, the word, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Take that in. That settles the issues. Should I sin? No. Should I hate? No. Should I be lazy? No. Should I be wishy-washy in life? No. He said in Daniel 2 and 44 that this kingdom would not be left to others. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of the Lord. Never, nowhere and in any way has he ever relinquished his authority. He is still the king. His word is forever settled. He didn't leave it to other men. One of the great perils of this life is learned men, enlightened man, trying to divide and divine the words of truth. Trying to usurp authority over the Spirit of God. Hence, man rule. Instead of allowing God's Word to stand and the Spirit of God to be the translator and interpreter of it, man has risen up and said, this is what that means. Man rule. Man's jurisdiction over where God granted no authority whatsoever. Man usurping authority over the very sacredness of the Word and the translation and interpretation, rather, of the Word of God. Not going to be left to others. It's always going to be in His kingdom. And these words that He's spoken to us, Jesus said, would judge us in the last day. They'll fit us for judgment. They will fit us for right standing before God. They're words of life, and they're forever settled. Learn them, know them, practice them, love them, cherish them. Let them be the rock and the guide of your life. Learn how to make your choices based on the Word and the Spirit of God. Learn how to say yes by the Spirit. Learn how to say no by the Spirit and the Word. Learn how to divide which is the way that I should go and then walk in it. Learn to say no. Learn to resist the devil. May God help us this morning. This word, no, I want you to think about it, and I think about it myself often. Think about it a minute. Are you utilizing the word no? The power of it, the strength of it, the authority of it. Are you ashamed of it? Are you intimidated by saying no? Learn the power in being guided by God to resist the enemy. Resist the whims and deny an ungodliness wherever he comes, whatever venue it comes through. Have you learned the power of resisting? Have you found the peace and the fulfillment that follows when you do resist? Have you learned and know the wonderful joy of not yielding to temptation by saying no? I don't want any part or a lot of that. That's not like my Lord. That's not like what I'm here on earth to do. I want to serve the Lord. Therefore, I say no to this temptation. No to this emotion. No to this feeling that just at times, and don't they just whelm up on us. And God wants us to be able to be temperate, patient, and say, wait a minute. I hear the devil. I feel the enemy. He's trying to get a little moment here in my life and creep right in here and get me to agree to something that the consequences are not going to be anything like I want it. Lord, help us today to be able to say, no. Know when to say it, and say it with conviction. You pray for me.